opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder more or less than running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
It is nearly Derby Week, Louisville. This is the Rusty Satellite Show. I appreciate you downloading the podcast and tuning in to this show that's all about the most interesting people in the Ville. And in Louisville, Kentucky, there's a lot of interesting people roaming around the streets these days. This week I have John Asher, who is well known to most people that follow horse racing or anything to do with Churchill Downs. He's the vice president of, I think, racing communications over there at the track, and a longtime friend of mine. And thrilled that I was able to go over on a rainy day. Of course, John says it's always sunny in 75 at Churchill Downs. Today it seemed to be raining, but I'm going to take his word for it. The Derby is a scant, when we recorded the interview today on Wednesday, 10 days away. So May 7th, it's coming up. I've got a lot to say, talk with John about. And like I say, I always have interesting people on the show. And this week, instead, I'm going to have a couple of comedians. I know. That would be like a joke that these guys would tell. But Bob Batch and Mark Klein are playing at the Laughing Derby at the Comedy Caravan during Derby weekend. And if you listen to this interview with them, I think you may be motivated to go down there. There's a lot of options to do this week during Derby week. But these guys are longtime Louisvillians, put on a great show down there, and they're pretty funny. So I hope you enjoy my interview with them. That's coming up in the second half of the show. First up, I want to tell you about the Eye Care Institute, one of our sponsors on this program. I'm very proud to have them with me, and I'm going under some treatment myself. I've got to do is schedule my LASIK operation. And I know all about it, and it's going to be great. Right there on their website, they say they're the leaders in LASIK. If you have any issues with cataracts, glaucoma, LASIK, diabetes in the eye, macular degeneration, routine eye care, family eye care, 589-1500, 502-589-1500 is the number for the Eye Care Institute. Give those folks a call if you want to do something about a problem with your eyes or just get your regular checkup. All right, so that's out of the way. Let's get on with the show and my conversation with John Asher. Now, if you follow the show, you know, 147 shows, I have rarely, if ever, well, I have like three times had a guest on more than once. But John Asher has helped me get a numerous guests from over the track. And I, with the announcement that Churchill Downs is hosting the Breeders' Cup this week, I decided that since John was on way back in show number 10 back in 2013 is the last time John was on the show. We had to go over to the old studio. It was a lot different then. And so I was happy to have him sort of update and hear from John about the Derby. You know, all week you're going to be hearing about horses. You get a dose of that on this interview, plus information about the Breeders' Cup coming and just some good old Derby information. John Asher is the authority on the Derby. I was interested to find out that, you know, his first Derby, 1982, Gato del Sol, that was like my fourth or fifth, because I went to 1978, senior year in high school, I went to the infield. It was a ball. It was really fun. And it's still fun out there. And we had a lively conversation over there at Churchill Downs. And you can listen to it right now.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
And John, we're sitting here in the press room at Churchill Downs, where I guess this is where the winning trainer sits after the race,
on
right?
The first Saturday of May, after we run the Derby at approximately 6:50 or so, and then after all the celebration in the winner's circle and the roses going over the withers and the governor and the toast and the national television interview, everyone streams back to this space.
There you go.
And then we have the winning owner and the winning trainer and the winning jockey here to talk about the experience. Yeah, it's a special little place.
It's a heaven of place. I've been here
a couple times a year.
At that time, it's really cool. But there's so many cool little spots in this great big facility. But let's get to you. I mean, I think you were made for this job, right? There's no better ambassador.
I pretty much, I'm the luckiest man alive to be here. It's been a lovely friendship, as Bogey said at the end of Casablanca. I was a kid that grew up not certainly in horse country. Grew up in about an hour and a half from Louisville and near Litchfield, Kentucky. And my family got together, watched the Derby on TV once a year. It was a family tradition, and then. One year, the light bulb just came on. I thought this is a great thing, so I learned about it, followed it through the years, and was lucky enough after a pretty solid radio news career to find my way here in 1997. This is my 20th Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs, my 34th overall.
I always ask people if they remember the first Derby you attended in person.
Yeah, absolutely. Gatto del Sol, 1982.
Makes me feel old because
my first Derby.
Mine was Affirmed.
Yeah, well, you're not too far behind. Affirmed a very fine Triple Crown winner and of course the last one. And you could just gauge your history from Affirmed to American Pharoah last year, because that was the gap in Triple Crown.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's like I had this deal where I saw Kentucky beat Tennessee in like 1984. Never did it again in football. So that was fun, but. Let's talk about the big announcement this week. I know it's all Derby, but you all had a non-Derby announcement that's like big news for Louisville.
Very exciting. I think great for the community, great for racing fans here, and great for racing fans throughout the region that the Breeders' Cup is making its return here for the first time since 2011. It'll be here in 2018. Of course, it had a very successful run last year at Keeneland, and Keeneland and Lexington did an incredible job of hosting, but... We're thrilled it's back here. It'll be the ninth time that the Breeders' Cup has been held here. We will again, at that point, tie Santa Anita for the most Breeders' Cups. They are hosting this year, so they will move past us. We're currently tied at eight. It'll be their ninth this year, and then our ninth in 2018. But it's a very different physical plant.
Right.
It was.
And it seems like it's a bigger gap. It seems like I remember a bunch of them in a row or something.
Well,
like that.
At least we had two the last. Time we had a Breeders' Cup here in 2011, that was the second of back-to-back years, 2010, 2011, the first time we've had the two-day event here. And we've had them within a couple of years before. We hadn't had back-to-back years, but had been a regular, almost, you could set your watch by every, three, 4 years. Last few years, I think the Breeders' Cup, and a lot of people thought it was just we had ticked off the Breeders' Cup somehow, and I really don't believe that to be true. Not that every business arrangement and business partnership is perfect, and not say we haven't had a disagreement or two through the years, but the Breeders' Cup, you got to look at the event. We're 142 years old as the Kentucky Derby. The Breeders' Cup has just cracked 30, just gone past 30. So that event, that's an event still taking shape, and they're looking to see what's the best for that organization, what's the future going to hold. And they looked at several years in California. I think it's been looked at some point as maybe a permanent host site in California. And I think it was things like that. And then we had this opportunity. I thought we had it back a couple of years ago. I thought we were going to land it a couple of years ago. And this year worked out, and we're thrilled that at the news it's going to return. I know a lot of fans and a lot of business people in this region and civic.
Oh yeah, it's a big, big deal. And I was reading a story you wrote in the Voice Tribune about some memories you had and. I remember '88 being
first here.
Like it got dark. And
debut of night racing at Churchill Downs, but it was accidental.
Without lights.
Ali Sheba came home in the Classic that day. Still for me, and again, I think anybody in this community that has known me at all in my years here since '82 knows how much I love the Kentucky Derby and Churchill Downs, but the Derby and Oaks and where they stand for me. But I've never had a better overall day at the races than the 1988 Breeders' Cup here. It was just magical, despite, you know, gunmetal girls.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you won a lot of money.
I didn't cash a ticket, which is not abnormal. But it's the best day, top to bottom, in terms of competition I've ever spent at a racetrack.
All right, well, let's talk about the Derby. Mm-hmm. I hear stories or hear you talking about it. You kind of don't do well on picking the winner.
I do what a lot of people do on Derby Day, and you lead with your heart instead of your head sometimes. It's almost impossible not to get wrapped up in some story. That's part of it. I mean, you know these horses better than you know any other race you see through the year. You know, on a Wednesday afternoon, the seventh race, they might just be numbers on paper to you. On Derby Day, they're flesh and blood creatures with stories and people behind them, and a lot of tears are shed for winners on Derby Day, and a lot shed for losers. It's a different thing.
It's all about the names sometimes, right?
Names, colors. One of my favorite Derby handicapping methods that I've shared through the years, and people always seem to love it, is the hat pin method, where you wear the great hat on Derby Day. You take out the pin, you stick it through the program, and bet every horse that has a hole in its name. That's a time-honored winner. But I always tell people, come to the Derby, have fun. If you want to, you're going to stay up all night, stay up all for 2 weeks and handicap, that's a great thing. But also, if you want to come out and bet your favorite color, bet your niece's name, bet your phone number, there's all kinds of waiting.
Now, I heard one that I think all us press guys are going to like, right? Yeah. Sudden breaking news,
and I think he's a long shot, but he's a long shot with a chance. He's trained by a gentleman named Don Von Hemmel, who's never won a Kentucky Derby, and I think only has competed in a couple. But, yeah, he's one of those great names. You know, thoroughbred horse names are limited to 18 characters. It includes all spaces. So Sudden Breaking News is 18, but you got no spaces in it. So it's one of those all jammed together names. But he's a come-from-behind horse, ran really well last time out in the Arkansas Derby, which is a race I think is better than a lot of people think it was. And he will surprise me not a little bit. If he at least hits the board at 25, 30, 40 to 1 on Derby.
Okay. And now, from what I've heard, and I'm not paying attention like you do, but I talked to a lot of people. This horse Nyquist is likely to be the favorite.
He will be the favorite. I'm guessing Mike Battaglia, depending on post position. Mike still does our morning line, although he's retired from race calling, and he no longer works on the NBC telecast. He's kind of he's moving into elder statesman form for us. But he does the morning line for us. I'm guessing Nyquist, again, without a bad post, probably about 3 to 1. He's unbeaten. What else do you want? Last unbeaten horse to win the Derby was Smarty Jones back in 2004. But he's done everything they've asked him to. It's from the team that won the Derby just a few years back with I'll Have Another. Again, in his last race, he beat the horse that was probably going to be the Derby favorite before they met, a horse named Mohe Men, and beat him pretty soundly. So
yeah, I saw Mohe Men on the backside last week.
Who's looked fantastic here, which is always a good sign. But we're going to have a full gate of 20. We'll have the full gate entered on Wednesday of Derby week, and then we see what happens. You know, you can't stop holding your breath until they break from the gate on Derby Day, if you're an owner or trainer. But it's a very competitive group. You know, last year we had the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years, and how much did that do for our sport? It did amazing things, and high bar to clear, but it's not to say, if you look back over history, Triple Crown winners have come in bunches, so who knows? Maybe there's one lurking in this group. But
three in the 70s, right?
Sure, three in the 70s. We had four in the 40s. We had three in the 30s, and the first two were Triple Crown winners and didn't know it. They weren't Triple Crown winners until retroactively. But now we have a dozen, even dozen after American Pharoah, and a lot of possibilities in this race. I wouldn't be surprised to see the favorite win the race or to see a 40-to-1 shot come in. It's a really competitive group.
All right. Well, I want to ask you. You recall these stats like one right after the other. And I used to take pride in like going out in the infield and drinking and having the Derby shirt on and could tell you like half the names of the horses. Mm-hmm. But you actually like seem to be able to remember every Derby.
It's good. Right? It's good to like what you're doing. I'm not going to say my memory's flawless, but there's a lot of information rolling around in there. And although as you get older, you don't download it as quickly, but it's up there.
I know. Like when I was in like college, I could go back to 1960 and flawlessly do it. And now I can't tell you. I know who won last year, but maybe not the year before. It's a weird thing your memory, your mind does to you.
Yeah, that's why the internet's a great thing. it's good to do phone interviews with a monitor in front of you.
All right. So how is so? We're getting close. Yep. Tell me about your routine. People are, I think, interested in your job. You're well known. People know who you are, what you do, but what do you actually do? Let's say, what do you do on Derby Day?
On Derby Day, I get here early in the morning. I've only spent one Oaks night here. That's back in 2010 when we had incredible rain all day long. New stormy weather was coming. The Weather Channel had showed up in the middle of the week. Jim Cantore had shown up, which is a sign of the apocalypse. You know, we knew it was going to be tough. So I stayed here that night, short night, got up, took a shower, and at 5 a.m. that morning, Renee Murphy from Channel 11 was knocking on the window of my office wanting an update on the weather. So it's a good thing I stayed that night. But get here early in the morning. You know, I go to the backside on a normal Derby day, go back in the barn areas, check on everybody, make sure everything's okay, do a few TV interviews, radio interviews. I have to park on the backside that day. Derby parking, as you know, is a special thing. So I eventually walk around the far turn and come in, actually come through the tunnels, through the infield, and come over to my office, and then through the day. You know, racing's here early, 10:30 in the morning. You know, we deal with whatever stories are going on that day. Sometimes we have a scratch the morning of the race. Sometimes it's nice and smooth and quiet. Through the race day, along with dealing with phone calls, media demands, things of that nature, and trying to sneak to see family now and then at some point during the day.
You got to have a little fun.
You need to try to, and it is. During the day, while the NBC telecast is going on through the day, I have a standing duty that while the races are on television, I go to the winner's circle after every race. I'm standing by in case some comment needs to be made on behalf of the track. If there's an injury or a mishap or just something they need to come for me for, I'm there all day. So most times it's quiet. I make the trip. I say hello to everybody. I wish them happy Derby, and I go back to the office. But occasionally there's something going on. So that's the pattern until we get up to Derby. Do a few things during the day as well in terms of introducing a national anthem singer, things like that. And then after the Derby, we get through the Derby, and I'm the MC of the post-race press conference, and then you wrap up a wonderful day. I'd normally walk out of here about 12:30 or 1 in the morning and trudge back to my car on the backside and then head home and come back at 6 in the morning.
Wow. And that's after a full week. How many nights a week do you go out and have official duties, like at parties?
Do a lot of public speaking. Don't make parties too often. Not too often. Do a lot of public speaking the week before Derby week. I've got events scheduled 3 nights of the week. I've got a couple of breakfasts scheduled, some lunches that go and speak to people. Opening night, the weekend, and opening week of the track's always exciting. And then during the week itself, got a few dinners that I'm a regular at, and some other events that show up at. So it's not. I'd love to tell you I could sit here and tell you everything that's going on, but I just check the calendar daily and hope I haven't forgotten to enter anything. But it's always good, and it leads us to the first Friday and Saturday in May, and that's a great place to be.
Which is, and this is how we'll close it, how far away, when is the Derby?
The Derby, as of this moment we're sitting here?
As this is the moment we're recording this interview.
We're recording this on Wednesday. It is Wednesday.
Okay. It is Wednesday.
Again, that's how my schedule goes. It is Wednesday. We are 10 days away from the Kentucky Derby. My clock turns over every day at 6:50 because the race is generally run at that point. That's on Saturday, May 7th, about 6:50 or so, the race will be done. And for me, that's like midnight. We flip it over and we start counting it down for next year's Derby. So by the end of this day, as we're speaking on Wednesday, when we hit 6:45, 6:50 p.m., it'll be 9 days for me till Kentucky Derby Day.
Thank you to John Asher taking a moment out of his day to talk with me for the Rusty Satellite Show. Hope you get your Derby plans together. Opening night is Saturday, April the 30th, I believe it is. And they've got a big arts thing over there. It's going to be the place to be on Saturday is Churchill Downs for sure. And all next week. Speaking of which, I'm going to talk to about a couple of events that are coming up after the Derby that I'm personally involved in. I'm very excited about. I think you should too. If you hear this, you can go on Facebook and see the information about these events. The first is my bi-monthly Breakfast of Champions event at the University Club. We will be hosting. Our speaker is Harry Pickens, who, if you don't know Harry by reputation, he is a wonderful musician, a pianist. And does a lot of other things in the community. He's a motivator, and I'm really looking forward to introducing you to Harry over at the University Club for the Breakfast of Champions. I'm hoping to get him on this show before the event, but that is on Tuesday, May the 10th, Tuesday, May the 10th at 7:30 a.m. at the University Club. So hope you make that. And I'm also partnering with my good friend Paul Toole at Ballaton Chocolate Whiskey to go to the Third Turn Brewery on Wednesday, May the 18th. That's going to be a really, really great, great event. I'm looking forward to bringing some people out to Jefferson Town and introducing them to this great facility at Third Turn Brewing. I did interview Greg Hayden for my podcast in Jefferson Town, but he's going to be on this show in 2 weeks along with Paul to talk about Ballaton Chocolate Whiskey's event that I came up with, Cocktails with Champions. And there's going to be some creative things done with chocolate whiskey. Put it on your calendar right now, May the 18th, Wednesday night, about 4:30, 5:30, I'm not sure what time. Come on out, enjoy some Ballaton Chocolate Whiskey with Paul and I and a bunch of our friends out there in J-Town. And speaking of J-Town, I want to mention that this week, I've got a whole lot to get to here, but this week there was a big event out in J-Town. A press conference was held by the mayor, Bill Dieruff, and the new police chief, Ken Hatmaker. And all the television stations were there. They were talking about a new program called the Angel Program that is designed to do something about the heroin problem. Now, this is a big, big issue. It's an epidemic. And law enforcement officials, treatment centers, all these folks are at a loss as to what to do about this. So here's how that program is going to work. You can read about a story about this on LouisvilleKY.com. If an addict is struggling and wants to get straight, they can bring their drugs, bring all their paraphernalia, and they can walk into the J-Town police station starting August 1st and get treatment at no cost. And it is it's a groundbreaking program. It has worked in the Boston area. They tried it and have done really well. It reduced property crimes in that area 33%. And that's a big issue, because people that are on heroin, they lose their sense of right and wrong. They start stealing things and robbing people, and they commit crimes. And this is a way to, in Mayor Dieruff's words, take some action. You don't want to just talk about the problem. Take some action, and hopefully, don't scoff, because with this kind of program, it has worked in the past, and people who are addicted to heroin can walk right into the J-Town police station without fear of prosecution, and that's a good thing. So that's a big event coming up out there in J-Town. The program starts August 1st. And by the way, if you're interested in J-Town, the police chief, the newly appointed police chief, Ken Hatmaker, will be a guest on the J-Town Chamber podcast that I host every week. He'll be on next week. You can find that podcast over at jtownchamber.com, where this week's episode features a big party that's going on at Woodhaven Country Club called the Oaks Eve Bash, a more moderately priced form of entertainment than some of the big derby parties, but just as much fun and a lot of great entertainment there. And so I urge you to take a listen to my J-Town Chamber podcast. All right. Now, if you're hosting people for the Derby or Derby Week, you're probably paying attention to the news, because there's a lot of stuff going on about Airbnb, and I have a lot to say about that. But first, I want to tell you that if you are hosting, the perfect gift for your Derby guest is a book. It's a book called the Kentucky Derby. You can find it online at www.kyderbybook.com. It's written by Bill Doolittle, a guest of ours a few weeks ago, but it's not just by Bill. There are plenty of great writers, plenty of great photographers, and they've got this great Digimarc technology, which allows you to put your phone over certain pages and see video. It leaps right off the page. So kyderbybook.com is the place to get that. I have one out for my Derby guest. I am an Airbnb host, and I have a great couple from Florida coming in to enjoy my cozy cottage in J-Town, and I'm very excited about it. I've been doing this for 2 years now, almost since I moved in to my home in 2014, without incident. I want to emphasize this, without incident. Everybody's happy, which is the thing. I'm working with John Gilderbloom on coming up with an editorial about this darn Metro Council chase. They've got this solution to a problem that doesn't exist. And I know David Yates, the Metro Council chairman, was on this show and he talked about it. But I am very disappointed that the government is pursuing a way that really is sort of cheating middle class homeowners. They want to collect fees and they want to put all these restrictions on home sharing in this market. Understand, there have been no problems with home sharing in this market for longer than the 2 years that I've been doing it. And the thing about Airbnb, it is a self-policing group. In other words, if you go and stay at an Airbnb somewhere and you give a bad review, well, that's going to really affect that host ability to have other people in. So the host make great efforts to make sure their guests have a great stay. And certainly I do that. I post some of the positive reviews I've received on Facebook. And, you know, I went to Arizona and I stayed at a mountaintop condo. It was just tremendous. I went to New Orleans. I stayed in the French Quarter in an apartment. And it was just an outstanding option in our society against hotels. But I'm working on this thing with John Gilderbloom because he is with me on this. And he's about as fired up as I am because There are elements, or there are people and organizations in this town that are opposed to anybody like making money and having happy customers. And that's basically what happens with Airbnb. Now, there was a meeting of the planning board a week ago Monday, you may have read about, and there's something else coming up very soon. But like today, this is really frustrating because Yates came out with an amendment that says that they're going to waive all the requirements for people that only rent their homes Derby Week. Now, do you think if somebody successfully rents their home Derby Week and they find out that they can rent it other times of the year that they're not going to? It's just ludicrous. It's a stopgap measure, I guess. And, you know, the thing is, I got to get off my soapbox here, but. Putting all these regulations on a service that has existed and been going on for years, it just smacks of idiocy. I don't know what the motivation is for the government, except they want their piece of the pie. I guess the Metro Council does. But you know, the next thing they're going to do, they're going to come to yard sales and say, oh, okay, well, you made money. You sold some products in your yard. So, you know, you need to have a license for that, and you need to get regulations and all that. So, anyway, this is my anti-government stance. I know that it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. So we'll see. I'm enjoying. I've got Airbnb guests coming in, you know, all the time, and so does John, and so do a lot of people that are making good money. They're putting the money back into their homes, and for a lot of people, it's a way to rent a room in their house. It's a way to help pay the rent. Help pay the mortgage and keep your home and put something back into your home. So anyway, that's my rant about Airbnb. You can look for that on LouisvilleKY.com in the coming days. I'll be writing about that. I also got into a sort of controversial thing last week. I don't know if you saw on LouisvilleKY, I wrote a piece about Chris Thieneman. My point being that it's a shame that in our society a woman can walk up to a police officer and claim that a man hit her, and the police officer, without even questioning, this is what happened to Chris, didn't even question Chris, just put the handcuffs on him, took him down to jail, no evidence whatsoever. The court case has gone on for 3 years. Chris was exonerated of the most serious charge of assault, and he was convicted of wanton endangerment, which carried a $500 fine, but he was looking at jail time if they had convicted him on the other charge, and that was very serious. It generated a lot of action, a lot of comments on Facebook on both sides of that issue, and you might go to my Facebook page and look at it, or go look at the story on LouisvilleKY.com. It's very interesting. Probably got more traffic than I've had in a long time for any one story, as far as that goes. So there you go. All right, let's get some brighter news. I am so happy about Derby Week coming up. And then I was riding around my car the other day, and I was hearing, I was listening to WFPK, and they were talking about the Waterfront Wednesday lineup for the year. And, you know, my musical hero, Paul Thorne, who you hear his music in the background on this show, is coming to Waterfront Wednesday on May 25th. So I can't tell you enough what a great experience it is to hear the Paul Thorne Band play. I will probably be talking about that in the coming days. We're making some changes to the Rusty Satellite Show, and the main song may change. But, you know, it's 150 shows. I'm almost at 150 Rusty Satellite episodes. That's almost 300 guests who have been on this show. It's a real privilege and honor for me to be able to talk to all these people, and I really enjoy it. So I appreciate you keep continuing to download. A couple weeks ago, we had a really big show. The show was Summer Hour back, and Barbara Sexton Smith set some kind of records for downloads for this show, and the numbers keep going up every week. So thank you for listening. I appreciate it. The Rusty Satellite Show is going to continue for sometime into the future. All right, so that's all the stuff that got me fired up this week. And then I invited a couple of comedians to come into the studio and make some jokes, and that's what we did. Bob Batch and Mark Klein are doing a number of shows down Derby Week at the Laughing Derby at Comedy Caravan. Both are longtime Louisville residents. Mark's got this great gig. He does comedy on cruise ships, if you can imagine, and they're genuinely funny guys. So let's get right into the interview. Here is Bob Batch and Mark Klein in the Rusty Satellite Studios.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
What a fun day it is. We're getting ready for Derby Week at the Comedy Caravan. I got a couple of guys that are claimed to be funny. They've been cracking jokes.
What?
As
what?
We've been getting ready to do this.
Are you sure this is a podcast? I'm not sure. Is this guy have a podcast?
That's Bob Batch. He's the one comedian, and Mark Klein is here. Mark, welcome to the show.
A pleasure to be here to walk among you as a living man.
That's a good thing.
So so I guess the first joke I said was, are you guys comfortable? And so you're ding.
Yeah, I make a nice living. Mark is the traditional answer to that question. It's an old joke. An old man gets hit by a car. He's lying on the street corner. Policeman comes back. Okay, we call an ambulance. Are you comfortable? He says, I make a nice living. The joke's 100 years old.
That's true.
It really works.
Guy goes to his doctor, says, you only got 6 months to live. He says, I can't pay you. I'll give you another 6 months. Yeah, that's the old – that's Henny Youngman, I think, isn't it?
It probably predates him.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
We know jokes so old no one's ever heard them. That's the beauty of our show.
This young generation, they don't know the old jokes.
No.
So old jokes at the Comedy Caravan. Tell me about that that appearance, what you guys are going to be doing there.
We're going to be doing a show. We'll be doing three shows Derby Week, Thursday, Friday. Well, four shows Derby Week, Thursday and Friday. That's three because there's two on Friday. And then we're doing Saturday also, which means Derby night. You know, people on their way to jail or on their way to the hospital, just come on in and sit and use
stop
our
– by. Who needs anesthesia? You got Bob on stage. Who needs to be numb?
Use us for your waiting room, man. Yeah.
The Comedy Caravan is now called the Laughing Derby, by the way. It's at the Mid-City Mall, which for Derby Weekend entertainment is perfect. You're not downtown with drunk strangers. You're on Bardstown Road at the Mid-City Mall with drunk people who are familiar to you.
Oh, that's right. There you go. That's right.
There will be drunk people.
You can't do any better than being on Bardstown Road because, I mean, where else can you see a guy with a kilt on a skateboard pushing a giant globe? And he's on his way to work. So you can fit in there.
And you're the only one staring at him, by the way. No one else is shocked at this. So, yeah.
All right, let's get a little real information here. Your history. Mark, what's your – I know you're from Louisville. I've heard of you forever. And, you know, you're, I guess, old. So what have you been doing you know, the last 30 years or so?
Well, I do corporate humor entertainment. I work on cruise ships. I do some comedy club work. And what I do is I talk and you laugh. I've made my living in comedy for 35 years. It's been a great living. It's been very good to me. And to get to perform in my hometown on Derby weekend in a club that that was my home club for many years is a true privilege, pleasure, honor, and thrill. I'm delighted to be back this weekend.
All right, that's great. And then, Bob, you
well, kind of ditto similar. That, really. Yeah. He ran into me years ago, and we started doing this, and it's been about 35 years. I have had other jobs, but I've never been good at any of them.
But you're good at comedy, Yeah. So are you all practicing for this, or are you all just going to go up and whatever's
practice.
In your...
Are you new here?
You talking about practice?
It's not what we do. We go on stage, we talk, and you laugh. That's practice.
Okay. Practice.
My question, I guess, is there any preparation for these shows at Comedy Caravan?
Preparation for the show. Let's see. We shower. We tend to be clean for these shows.
Try to be clean,
we like to come well-bathed.
Have a couple of beverages.
Our hygiene is always good, possibly a drink or two. And we invite our friends, family, and their friends and families and strangers to come in and hear what we have to say. And on a good day, people laugh. And on a really good day, the club's check clears.
Yes. There you go.
That's what we should.
You do get paid.
We always hope so. You know what? Usually we do. That's the amazing thing about it.
It is amazing.
We're just going to, yeah.
Now, I'm curious, Mark, you know, because you do these cruise ships, you do a lot of stuff out of town. You must have great Kentucky jokes that you tell all these other people.
Here's what I tell people when I travel. They go, Mark, what's Kentucky all about? I say, here's what we make in Kentucky. We make bourbon. We make baseball bats. We make cigarettes. We make fried chicken. Our state motto is, if it kills you, we make it.
That's right.
That's our focus in life, things that will kill you. You want happy stuff? That's not us. That's not what we do. We do stuff that kills you.
There you go. So let's go back to Bob. Now, Bob, you got this great thing. You don't have your signs with you today,
no.
But you got this great way of making fun of the way people talk.
What you doing, Chup, too? I'm on yarn, smite or chew. I just talk to my dad and write it down phonetically. That's what I did. And everybody says, appreciate it. But I have it. I actually went and got that trademark. Appreciate it.
Wow.
Appreciate it. Please say appreciate. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. My son told me the other day some kid's doing it on Vine or one of these things that kids do on their phones.
Yeah, you're gonna have to sue
appreciate
him.
It. Yeah, I'm gonna have to send him a cease and desist order.
To a 6-year old.
For saying appreciate it. Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah, that's the business of comedy, isn't it?
Okay.
We don't want to talk about that.
So you guys got something to do this year at Derby. What's your like Derby history? This is all about the Derby.
Derby history? Well, I haven't won a cent. Have you won anything at the Derby?
The last horse I made real money on was Funnyside back in 2004,
when
he won. And that was just on his name. I mean, a sire, Distorted Humor, out of a Seattle slough mare, Sluicide. Who cannot bet on a horse like that? But I've had Derbies where I bet horses to live and didn't cash the ticket. So
that was the one. What was the one against when Hillary was running against Obama? What was the horse that they had to put down?
Oh, Eight Bells. That
was terrible, it Eight Bells?
Terrible tragedy with the filly.
Because I remember, because later, after the Derby, then that year, Hillary came to Kentucky in the primary, and she ran against Obama. And we said, I think Hillary's a little skittish about running in Kentucky, because last time the filly came in second, they had to put her down.
That's right. And they named a race after her, which is run on Derby Day, the Eight Bells Stakes, which is like Amelia Earhart luggage. I mean, name a race after a horse that made it back to the barn, for God's sake. But that's horse racing. It's an insane business.
It is. I wish they would have a bet. Like, I would like to bet, like, I know who's going to finish 18th. You know, and that's not available.
If you could box a three-horse exacta with the last three finishers of any race, I'd be a racetrack gambling millionaire.
We've done that before we go. We try to bet on who comes in last. Mm-hmm. Just something between our group, you know, and because we're all pretty good at picking that, but... This year, though, my man Sam, that's my son's name, Sam. I mean, that's what I call him. So, you know, I got to put money on that. That's one of those things about horse racing.
And I've got I've got a horse there about my sex life. Exaggerator is one of the favorites this year. So,
We got an exacta right now.
I actually had a guest on the show that thought Exaggerator has a good chance. Bill Doolittle, you know, so he knows what he's talking about. He actually studies the races and the horses. So there
Mark studies them pretty good. I just go out and lose. It's the way that works.
So Derby Day, you're going to go out there before your show, or
I don't know. You know, it's going to be it'd be a long day for me to do that. I might just stay home and do that. But are you going to be out there, Mark?
I'm there. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah.
My wife and I have been going to the infield for 25 years.
You don't have to do that, though. I think I will.
We just do it. It's great fun.
I had a dream when I was 18 and went to my first Derby infield. I said, I want to be that guy that says, in 30 years, I've been every year. I wanted to be you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And then, be careful what you wish for. Is all
that's
all
definitely dupey.
Did it? So how's the infield? So you go to the infield every year. What? How? I mean, it's not as wild as it used to be, right?
You see a little bit of everything. We've seen people sliding in the mud and running across the porta pots. We've seen people just as lovely as they can be. We took our son every year when he was young, and when he was about 7 years old, he said, "Dad, I'm not leaving till I get my pair." And I think he meant flashed by some biker chick. And sure enough, about 5 minutes later, some complete career skankle with the Harley David and the Jack Daniels hat on and damn near nothing else. She lifts it up for all to see. And it was as rugged, nasty, and rough as you can hope to see out there. He felt complete for his seven-year-old Derby experience.
He has his own SMYT T-shirt, I'm sure.
Indeed.
So
yes, yes.
That's all good. So, okay. So, how you know people are going to come? You inviting all your friends?
How do we know
to the
people
show?
Are going to come?
Yeah, I mean,
well,
they're all walking around.
Now we're. I thought this podcast was going to get everybody. Hey, everybody! If you're listening to this podcast, get over to the Comedy Caravan Derby Week. You can come on Thursday. You can come on Friday twice, and come on Saturday when you get back from the Derby. Or if you don't go to Derby, for your own medical or, I don't know, legal reasons.
Here are some details that actually matter. Our Thursday night show is at 7:15. Our Friday night shows are 7:15 and 9:30. Our Saturday night show is 8 o'clock. Tickets are $10 a piece. And if you've got people in from out of town, you want to show something of Louisville that's not going to be drunk racetrack, bring them to the comedy show, because what a great place to get away from it all for an hour and a half while you enjoy some laughs with Mark and Bob.
And I guess the joke, a lot of your, I'm guessing the jokes will be a lot of local stuff, right?
I have a lot of local material that I use when I'm here because you can't use it anywhere else.
Well, I remember when we did the trivia contest a few weeks ago, you said you remember Muhammad Ali by his old name.
Walnut Street.
Yes. There you go. Yes.
The number to call for reservations. Let's not leave that out of our satellite podcast.
We're promoting here.
459-0022, the number to call when you have nothing else to do. 459-0022 for reservations.
And they're really, as a business, I guess that business, the Laughing Derby and Comedy Caravan, are you know, sort of defying the odds. They continue to do well. Some people might have thought, well, they might not have survived all the changes in the world.
Well, you might have thought that.
Some might have thought that. I don't think they care. But they're still there. It's kind of like Preservation Hall. Have you ever been to New Orleans? See the Preservation Hall?
Yeah.
With the old jazz musicians there. We're becoming that. It's almost like it's part comedy club, part museum.
My goal in life truly is to perform encased in amber, like an insect from the Jurassic or something.
Only his mouth moves, right?
The sound still comes out.
I got one more joke.
You do?
So these jokes. So I'm trying to. I've been to the Comedy Caravan. It's always one guy. Do y'all go together, or do you like do one after the other?
Well, we do something crazy. It's called tag team comedy. So we might be on stage together a little bit, and then we'll certainly be on stage separately. That's a kind of a bizarre thing to experience.
But like the wrestling thing, you tag him in, and he comes in and tells you jokes.
Yeah. We do that together. We do it like professional wrestling, but we have a character that we developed as a team act years ago called Mad Harry, and that's a bit that Bob and I do together. It's absolutely great fun, and it's the most fun part of our show together.
Yeah, people if people are listening, they may be wondering where they're going to see Harry the Mad Hungarian again tonight. I mean, this week, that week, we're going to have him. So, it's a kind of a rare occurrence.
It is. It coaxed him out of retirement.
It doesn't happen very often. I'm sure he's got gray hair or whatever. But, all right, well, great. Well, we're about done on the Rusty Satellite here, guys. Thanks for coming into the studio. And
I do have a question for you. Is it the satellite that's rusty, or are you the rusty on the I'm not quite sure what rust applies to what exactly.
There's a little mystery to the show, and that's it. we're here each and every week for almost 3 years, so that's pretty good.
That is good. That's amazing. Not
as old as you guys.
No, but, I mean, still amazing. 3 years.
There you go. All right, we'll be back with more on the Rusty Satellite Show right after this. And there you have it, another episode of Podcast Excellence on the Rusty Satellite Show, where you always hear from the most interesting people in the Ville. And this is a great week. I hope to have a lot of listeners tune in next week. We're going to have another great show.
probably focused on the Kentucky Derby, but I'm also going to be probably talking to Harry Pickens, the musician that's going to be our speaker at our Breakfast of Champions event May 10th. So until then, I just want to thank all the people that helped me put this show together, from Jason Smith on the web to Bill Breimer, who takes some great photos. He did a video of me and the comedians in here. You can check that out on Facebook. Jackie Bentley posts stories on LouisvilleKY.com. And I tell you, I've got some great things coming up that I'm doing with Dan Vonderhyde, the producer of everything on Louisville.am. So this is Rick Redding. Until next week, I'm signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.